Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. So today we are talking about alcohol and its impact, but with a twist. So our guest is Duncan. So isn't just sober, he helps people thrive beyond the alcohol. So first of all, welcome to the show, Duncan.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to having a bit of a chat.
Lovely, lovely, very lovely. So, but before we start our conversation, Duncan, I'd love to mention this briefly to our listeners that Duncan revamped his life after years of overdoing it. So he boosted his energy, productivity, and the relationships. And that's just the beginning. So Duncan's a wealth of knowledge, having trained with the experts, studied extensively, and even interviewed inspiring sober individuals. So here's the thing, many struggle with the alcohol, but rarely talk about it. So we want to change that. So is alcohol truly serving you? So Duncan's here to challenge that assumptions and explore a life beyond the booze. So let's welcome again to the show, Duncan.
Thank you very much. And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Duncan, to start with, you mentioned going beyond alcohol. So if you can share a bit more on what that means for you and the approach you take.
Certainly. See, I think that's a really interesting concept. Because what I want to help people to do is not simply to stop drinking, but to start living. And for me, that involves going beyond alcohol. And I think you meet people sometimes, they stop drinking, but they don't stop wanting to drink. And that makes them quite miserable because they're just, not doing something that they actually want to do. So for my money, whether they're drinking or not, they still haven't gone beyond the alcohol. So what we do, we try to make the change a little bit deeper. We try to get into those attitudes, those beliefs, and those values around alcohol and actually change those so that by the end of the process, people don't want to drink anymore. And then they can live their life almost as if alcohol didn't even exist.
Exactly. So, and also for many, alcohol is a social lubricant. So how does alcohol actually affect our brains and the behavior in social settings? What do you say?
So I think the science on this is fairly clear. It's a subject that's been studied extensively over the years. And I think what happens with that first drink is that it does tend to relax you. It does tend to make you feel a bit warm. As we discussed off air, it's quite warm where you are at the moment. So I'm not sure that would count as an advantage, but it makes you feel a bit warm. It makes you feel a bit more relaxed. It makes you feel a bit more at ease, but that is only the first drink. As soon as you have that second drink and your blood alcohol level goes up, then you start to get into the territory of speaking a little bit louder. Your vision gets a little bit blurred. Your coordination gets reduced. And that's why, you know, typically you're hitting the drink driving limit about then, because obviously it's a bad idea to drive if your eyesight's going and your coordination's going.
Sure.
If you then have another couple of drinks, then you're getting up into the territory of things like you'll be speaking a lot louder, your hearing won't be as good, you won't make quite as much sense, your coordination will really start to go, and you might even start to struggle with walking and fine motor skills.
Yeah.
A few more drinks after that, then you're into the territory of, you know, blacking out and vomiting and all of the really, really bad stuff. And I think the most important thing to note is actually the only positive effect of alcohol that you get is from that first drink. But because that first drink gives us this kind of positive feeling, we sort of try and chase it by having another drink. But of course, that other drink is what takes you into the territory where you start to get the negative effects.
That's very, very true, yeah. So, I mean, we all know, like, hangovers are no fun, but what's the lesser known impact of the regular alcohol consumptions on our sleep and the mental health? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think that's a really interesting point. People tend to think if you don't get a hangover, you don't have any effect from alcohol, but it's always important to note that there is always an effect from alcohol, and you will always feel different in the morning after you've drank than if you hadn't have drank. And what's becoming increasingly clear is there's a big body of scientific evidence that's starting to show that basically two drinks is where you start to feel the negative effects in the morning. So two drinks is enough to ruin your sleep by about 24%. What it does is it reduces the quality of the deep sleep that you have that's restorative and that helps with memories and things like that. So actually those two drinks are having a big impact on your sleep. So you're going to wake up tired. Two drinks also is enough to raise your cortisol level by 18%. And I'm sure your listeners are aware that cortisol is a hormone that's very related to stress, which is the irony, of course. Most people drink to reduce their stress, but actually you're increasing levels of the stress hormone in your body.
True.
Two drinks is also enough to have an impact on your memory. So if you learn to do something and then you have two drinks that evening, your recall of it will be won't be as good the next day. So it's that threshold when really where you are drinking more than one drink that you're starting to have these effects. And of course, the more you drink, the more the effects are going to be pronounced. So three or four drinks and you're really making a huge impact on the neurotransmitters. Things like GABA and serotonin and dopamine, that I'm sure all of your listeners are quite familiar with those neurotransmitters. They're the chemicals in your brain that help it work at its optimum level. They help you to learn. They help you to empathize. They help you to feel secure. So you might get a bit of a spike of those whilst you're drinking, but when you wake up the next day, as your body's clearing the alcohol, you have a deficit of those neurotransmitters. So you wake up feeling less energetic, less secure, less empathetic, and less able to learn. So, yeah, the science is pretty clear. Anything more than that one drink, and you are definitely going to have an effect on your performance the next day.
Exactly, definitely. So, beyond the brain, like, how does alcohol consumption affect our physical health, particularly like our energy levels, the body composition? So if you just shed light on it.
Yeah, so again, I mean, a lot of that physical tiredness, it comes from your body attempting to clear the poison in alcohol, because ethanol is a poison. If you had about an espresso cup of neat alcohol, that's enough to kill most people. And that's just an espresso cup. So that's a tiny little cup of alcohol. So as your body is clearing this poison, it's using vital resources that you can't deploy doing other things. Also, you've impacted your sleep, so you're going to be less tired. But there's a lot of other issues that you get physically. So alcohol's very calorie dense. 1 gram of alcohol contains 7 calories. The only thing that's got more calories in it than that is fat. So it's very calorie dense. There's also quite a lot of sugar in alcohol, a lot of sugar in beer that hasn't been fermented into alcohol. The same is true of wine. And of course, most spirits are mixed with sugary drinks to make them more palatable. So typically, an alcoholic drink is going to have the similar sort of level of calories as an ice cream. The difference, of course, is very few people will eat 3 or 4 ice creams in an evening. So it has a knock-on effect on your weight, which, of course, has a knock-on effect on things like diabetes and other issues like that. So just from that day-to-day point of view, if you're feeling less energetic, you're less likely to move. If you're consuming more calories, you're more likely to put on weight and all of the health consequences that go with that further down the line.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. So, there's perception that quitting alcohol means like sacrificing fun. So how can people still enjoy social situations and activities without that? So what do you want to say on this?
I mean, that comes back to what I was saying right at the start. I think if you can get to a position where you no longer want to drink, then social situations are fun, whether you're drinking or not, because you're not missing it. I think a lot of people think that if you stop drinking and you go to a situation where a lot of people are consuming alcohol, you'll feel bad because you're not able to do it. But I never feel bad because I don't want to drink alcohol. You know, I remember what it was like. I never had fun when I was drinking. You know, I drank for 20 years. And honestly, at the time, if you'd asked me, I would have said I was having a lot of fun, but I wasn't. I was miserable all of the time. And I think social events, you know, they're a lot more fun if you can remember them.
Yeah.
And of course, alcohol does cause you to lose your memory of an event. And I wonder how much you can tell me you're enjoying something that you can't really remember. So, yeah, I personally enjoy social events a lot more. I know a lot of people who have recovered from alcohol issues who now enjoy going out a lot more. My friend Esther goes to a lot of concerts, and she says, well, I used to go to a lot of gigs. I saw all of these bands when I was drinking, and I cannot remember any of it. I literally just wasted my money. But now I go along and I have a great time, and I'm you know, dancing right at the end because I've got the energy, and I really enjoy it a lot more. So I understand why people think that life is going to be less fun without alcohol. But trust me, it is far more fun, and I can introduce you to a whole load of people that prove that point if you'd like.
Yeah, that's lovely. So so you also mentioned like interviewing sober superstars. So if you can share some of the inspiring stories of people who have thrived after going beyond the alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've interviewed the better part of 50 people so far, and the story is basically always the same. They stop drinking, they discover they've got more energy, more focus, and more time on their hands, and then they put it to good use, whether that's in business, in politics, in sport, in exploring. I have examples for all of them. I name drop a friend of mine called Nick quite a lot. So Nick is currently in walking to the North Pole. And once he's done that, he will be the only person in the world to ever have walked to the North Pole, the South Pole, climbed the highest mountain on every continent, and rode the Atlantic. Now, I appreciate that most people might consider that to be abnormal behavior, but I think a massive part of Nick's success as an explorer, as a world record-breaking explorer, is down to the fact that he stopped drinking. There's no way he could have done any of that, you know, whilst he was drinking. So sobriety is often that springboard for people to really succeed, to do the kind of things that they've always wanted to do, but never quite found the time to do.
Yeah, got it. So, what according to you are some of the tools or the resources that you would recommend listeners who might be interested in exploring a life with less or no alcohol?
So I think the most important thing you can do is have that initial thought that, well, maybe I should alter my relationship with alcohol. If you're having that thought, you've got to realize that you have taken a massive step, because you have started to become aware that there might be something that you want to deal with. And awareness is always the first step. You cannot change a problem you're not aware of. So if you've become aware of it, brilliant. You have done a great job. You have taken that first important step. Now, there are a lot of different ways to get sober. Some people use group systems. That Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, is the most popular of those, but there are many other great systems. I'm a big fan of Smart Recovery. They do some amazing work. Recovery Dharma do some brilliant work as well. So there are a lot of kind of group programs that people use. Some people will get sober using a therapist. So there's probably some underlying issue that's prompting them to drink. That might, it's often unprocessed childhood trauma, but it can be difficult things that have happened to them in their adult life, like divorce, death of a close family member, loss of a business or a job, something like that. Those can underlie the drinking. So for them, it's better to take more of a kind of therapeutic approach where they deal with the underlying problem and the drinking kind of naturally falls away. The other method that's very popular is the kind of system that I work in, is called cognitive realignment, which is a very fancy way of saying what we do is we get to grips with your belief. So we start with what you believe about alcohol. And everybody believes a lot of things about alcohol. And generally, those beliefs lay unquestioned for years and years and years. So most people believe that alcohol helps them deal with stress, that it helps them to socialize, that it, bonds them with their friends. Some people even believe it makes them better looking. I certainly did. I thought that the girls much preferred me when I had a drink in my hand. So what we do is we take those beliefs and we examine them. You know, we bring them to light and we actually question them. We say, are they true? Does drinking help you to relieve stress? Or is drinking actually one of the major causes of stress in your life? So we look at those beliefs, we examine them, we work out whether they're true or not. But then we also kind of ask whether they're actually, are those beliefs helping you? You know, is the belief that alcohol is vital to make your life work, is that helping you to develop the life that you want, or is it actually holding you back? And once we've done all that work on the beliefs, then we start to look at thoughts. And we do something which we'd call thought management. So between the before you drink anything, you know, there is always this thought that says, let's have a drink. And there is always an opportunity between that thought and that action to change things. So we use various techniques to help you to get into that space between the trigger and the action, between the thought and the action, to do something different. And that's the thought management piece. And what we find is that once you've dealt with your beliefs and once you've understood the thought management process, then actually the actions are the easy bit. Actually, stopping drinking is pretty straightforward once you've got your beliefs and your thoughts straight. The problem is that a lot of people try and do it the other way around. They start with the actions and then they hope that the thoughts and the beliefs catch up. Sometimes they do, but most of the times they don't. So that's the process that I use. Start with your beliefs, manage your thoughts, and then the rest is easy.
Wow, that's a very clear understanding and explanation, I would say. It's really great. And so before we wrap up, like, what's one key message you want to leave with our audience about the relationship between alcohol and the overall well-being?
So the one thing that I'd love everybody to know, I'd probably even love my 18-year-old self to really appreciate it, is that, you know what? You're enough. You don't need alcohol. You don't need anything. You know, you are enough. What is inside you is more than enough to live a happy and fulfilled life. And you can be the person that you want to be. You don't need the alcohol because you are enough.
Lovely. That's great. So great. So thank you so much for joining us today in this episode. And a big thank you, Duncan, for joining us and sharing your insights on how alcohol
affects our head and health. So it's definitely been a thought-provoking discussion, and hopefully, dear listeners, it has left you pondering your own relationship with the alcohol. So always remember that whether you are curious about a life beyond alcohol or simply want to make healthy choices, there are resources available. So Duncan mentioned some of the great tools, and we will be sure to include them into the show notes so that it will be much easier for you to reach out to Duncan. And if you are looking for a community, the Sober Curious movement is gaining the momentum online and in many cities. So, and most importantly, I forgot to mention, prioritize your well-being. It's very, very important. You deserve to feel your best, both mentally and physically. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back with the next episode on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life. So until then, take care and be healthy and be happy. Thank you so much.